Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message, a summary of the message preached on September 16, 2012. This message is entitled Sovereign Silence, Secrets, and Mysteries. Now keep in mind, this is a summary of the message preached, so I will get to the main point, which was the sovereign silence of God, and how do we as Christians, how do we faithfully respond when God seems to be silent? We know that God is mysterious. Now, in one way, I should say this, that God has revealed His greatest mystery in the person of Jesus Christ. The greatest mystery of God is made known in the person of Jesus Christ. However, we would say that there are still ways of God that are mysterious to us, and God has secrets, and these things we have to leave to God. I would cite Deuteronomy 29:29 and say this, the secret things do belong to God. It says, these things, the secret things, belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. In other words, this of the greatest revelation of God is the person of Jesus Christ is... It belongs to us through faith. Christ, we belong to Christ. He belongs to us forever. However, there are those secret things that belong to God and always will. We won't know all the purposes behind all that He does. That sometimes causes us a great deal of problems when things happen in our lives that are challenging, and we say, "Wonder, you know, what is God's purpose?" You may discover some, but you'll never discover all. Much of the purposes of God remain a mystery to us. Listen to Paul's doxology in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, to explain why there are things we will never comprehend about God, because God is other than we are. His mind is infinitely more expansive, His wisdom much more. Listen to how Paul describes it. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. God is great. God is too wise and too magnificent, but I would say this, that God in His perfection, when it comes to us not knowing all there is to know about God, we have to understand is about Him. He is too wise and too loving to err. He will never make a mistake. And we're challenged to be content with this. In His perfect wisdom, God conceals His secret counsel and makes known to us what we need to know for His glory and for His good and for our good. We benefit from this. I think of my children. They're 7 and 8 years old. And try as they might to comprehend some of the things that Mommy and Daddy talk about, my wife and I talk about before them and to them, we see that they can't comprehend it. One day they will. They will have a mind that would comprehend the things that I as an adult comprehend. But imagine us before God, who is infinitely wise, infinitely perfect in all things. His knowledge is perfect and full. He understands the purposes behind everything. His purposes. And His purposes are eternal. Mine are finite always. But we have to content ourselves with knowing that God is perfect in His wisdom and does all things well. But when it comes to the silence of God, when we perceive that God is not there or God is quiet, He's not saying anything, we join with many of the psalmists, and there are so many psalms and so many of the prophets cried out this simple prayer, "How long, O Lord, how long? How long until You act? How long until You remember me?" Listen to Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. "How long, O Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Now listen to this, though. This is the crux of the message. It's not so much, the crux of the message is not so much that God is silent. I think we understand that, and we'll talk more about that. But the crux of the message is this. How do we respond? How must we respond in faith when God is perceived to be silent, as this psalmist so said so clearly? Listen to the verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Christians struggle with God's silence. Perhaps you've had issues and troubles and trials in your life that have brought you so low that you question the love of God. But yet, friends, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. If ever there's a question of the love of God, you look to the cross of Jesus Christ and you see God did not spare his own son, but gave him up willingly for us all. And that's the good news. So when God is silent or you want answers, you don't see what God is doing, remember the cross of Jesus Christ. Our faith as Christians can be described by a simple word called paradox, the paradox of faith. And God being silenced, when the scripture says God speaks everywhere, as we discussed last week in the message, this is my Father's world. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. It preaches continually the message God speaks, I am, to every human being. God is never silent. Never completely silent. There's a testimony being preached continually by what God has made. But the paradox of faith says this: God speaks all the time, yet God seems to be silent. The God of glory is the invisible God. This is a paradox, is it not? The God of glory is invisible. Here's one, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, yet he was hidden from the world in human flesh. There was nothing in his appearance to attract us to him, but yet he is Christ. What a paradox. Life comes through death, through the death of Jesus Christ, and that we die in him to live. Charles Spurgeon wrote of a great paradox. He said, the mercy of God often rides up to the door of our hearts, riding upon the black horse of affliction. That's a paradox. A black stormy cloud precedes a refreshing rain. The clouds are full of rain, yet a storm oftentimes precedes that. When we had our drought, the drought was broken by intense storms. That's a paradox. William Cowper, the great hymn writer, and we'll read this hymn near the end of the message, said, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Behind a smiling providence, God hides a smiling face. It's a paradox of faith. Each of these paradoxes are supervised by and superintended by our sovereign King. He rules over all of these. Behind in all these paradoxes, Jesus Christ rules. In fact, a slight mention, there was a mention of a hymn I had last week. We didn't even get to it, but I'm going to take the time to read it. When we think of the mysteries of God, the secrets of God, the silence of God, I want you to listen to how John Newton captured this idea. And when we think of silence so often, I'm praying and I ask for something, you ask for something, our hearts are broken, we're concerned for a loved one, we cry out, God seems not to hear, yet he's working all the time. Listen to how Newton writes, John Newton writes, I assume the title of the song is Prayer Answered by Crosses. Listen to these words by John Newton. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, more might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. 'Twas He who taught me thus to pray, and He, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour, at once He'd answer my request by His love's restraining power, subdue all my sins, and give me rest. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more, with His own hand He seemed intent to aggravate my woe. Crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my hopes, and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt Thou pursue Thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied. I answered prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ, from self and pride, to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayst seek thy all in me. This describes our lives. So often we pray and we pray and we pray, and God seems silent. He doesn't answer. We ask for grace and faith, and He sends us trial and tribulation and struggles. We want to know more about God, and He makes us see more of ourselves. And that's what John Newton wanted. He wanted more grace, more faith, and all he could see more was his own need for God. And he hungered and he cried out. And friends, so often the silence of God, I don't know of a time that this won't be true. The silence of God for the elect of God will draw the elect of God to faith in Christ and draw us to our knees before God in humble supplication. Please, oh God, hear me. All through the Scriptures, when God seems silent, God's people were drawn to God. They recognized the glory and the power and the majesty of God. Even when their hearts were breaking, they would acknowledge the glory of God. There are so many psalms we could look at where the question is asked, how long, O Lord? For instance, Psalm chapter 6 asks this question, Psalm 13, Psalm 35, Psalm 89, Psalm 90, and on and on and on, where the psalmist asks the question, why? There's a messianic why in chapter 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? He forsook him that the eternal plan for the salvation of God's elect would be accomplished. Yet even Messiah cried out the why, but was strengthened, because in Psalm 22, glory is given to God that He triumphs over His enemies. Each time the people of God, when sensing the silence of God, they cried out in faith, crying for God to break the silence, crying out for God to act on their behalf, crying out for God to remember, crying out for God to save. In each and every case for the people of God, and this has to encourage us today, it must give you grace to persevere in trial when God seems silent. In every case, the object of faith and trust is God. God's people must respond in faith and trust in God. God has His sovereign right to be silent. But God's people have the responsibility given according to the grace of God to wait upon the Lord, to be renewed by the Lord, to wait upon Him when He's silent, to trust Him that He's answering, as John Newton found, as he so eloquently related in that hymn, when he sought grace and faith, God sent the trials that made him see his need for grace and faith. And he learned the grace of God. He learned Christ more adequately. Why the silence then? I think we've answered that. It leads us to humbly submit to our sovereign. Where else are you going to go? Where else? To whom will you go? But his silence so often leads us to his throne, the throne of grace. I think of the parable Jesus spoke of the widow woman who was crying out for justice. She went to the judge's house moment by moment, crying out, not stopping until she was satisfied. And the judge heard her and gave her justice. That judge's silence provoked her to continue to ask. I think of the Syrophoenician woman when she came to Jesus, came in and Jesus is speaking to the people and they're eating a dinner and she asked for him to heal. She goes to the disciples, they won't tell Jesus, they're silent, so to speak. She persists and wants her daughter healed. Jesus finally speaks, I came to feed the children of Israel, and she just cried out. She said, I'll take the crumbs too. Silence caused her to persevere. Does the silence of God cause you to persevere? Will you persevere? Has he been silent on a matter as far as you're concerned? God has not answered. He has forgotten you. I would encourage you now, cry out to him. Persevere. He is working. He's exercising divine providence through is answering your prayer. You may not have to know how he's answering it at this point, but believe him, trust him. Silence reveals God's power eventually and our weakness, and it reveals God's grace. Paul wanted a thorn taken away. God seemed to be silent. He said, three times I cried out. Evidently, three times there was no answer. But God said in Christ, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Silence of God oftentimes reveals our motives, and it tests our attitudes and our actions. It tests our affections. It reveals our affections. So often we quit. Don't quit. Persevere. Silence is often God's instrument of providence to move us where he wants us to be, where he wants us to go. I think of Abraham. God said, go to the land I will show you. We don't have a record of God continuing to tell him, continue, go on, go on, go, Abraham. God, apparently, maybe I'm reading something into this, but apparently God was silent. Abraham kept going. He finally made it to the promised land. The saints of old responded to God's sovereign silence with trust, with praise, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with expectations, by faith. Psalm chapter 10, Psalm 13, Psalm 22, Psalm 42, and so on. The psalmist in Psalm 42 twice says, oh, my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset, for I know in due time I will have plenty of reason to praise the Lord. What a prayer for you and I to pray. What a way to talk to ourselves, I should say. Encourage your soul. Take yourself by the hand. Oh, my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Hope in God. In due time, you'll have plenty of reason to praise him. Do you believe that today? If you don't, would you tell him, I confess I have not believed. Please forgive me. Help me to trust. Give me the grace to trust. The mysteries of providence are more great than what I can describe. But God is so good. Listen to these words as in closing today from William Cowper's song, The Mysteries of Providence. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence. He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. God has a sovereign right to be silent, but in his silence, he's acting in providence. Our responsibility is to respond in faith with thanksgiving, with praise, with anticipation, with hope, humbling ourselves before God, trusting in his providence. Will you do that today? Thank you for listening to the Marrow of the Message.